Wall fans, common censors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 89 on this fine September Sunday afternoon. We got a lot of cool stuff to get into, but before we do that, we're of course going to get through our social plugs. We always kick things off with that. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, for episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. And of course, our YouTube channel. Head on over to youtube.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, youtube.com/gotellittothewall. Subscribe to our channel, get all kinds of other videos that you're not necessarily going to see from the video feeds and all that other stuff. We got all kinds of great video playlists up there. So if you're a YouTube consumer, user, you should absolutely be subscribed to our channel. And of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean, right there on Instagram. Lots of great photo content coming through there. In fact, a lot of stuff got posted over the past week, specifically stuff we talked about on the last episode. So if you're an Instagram user, make sure you're following that. Get all kinds of I would call a lot of it supplements, because it's not all Go Tell It to the Wall. It's not a Go Tell It to the Wall Instagram, but it supplements a lot of what we talk about here on the podcast episodes. So make sure, if you use Instagram, make sure you're following at SoCalSean. And don't forget, we have the official website, your one-stop shop for everything that is Go Tell It to the Wall, Common Sense Sundays, and your me personally, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and that would be SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's right, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. You're also going to find links to all those things I just mentioned, although it's not difficult to remember, slash Go Tell It to the Wall. You can link them directly there, even the Instagram account. You're also going to find exclusive content that you don't find on any of the other platforms. And of course, our Patreon campaign, if you're not familiar with Patreon, it is a good way to support artists, broadcasters, musicians that you like and you want to support them financially. Patreon's a great way to do it, so if you have the means to do so, help us out. If not, you don't like us enough to, you know, help us out, help out some other artists on there. And if you don't want to use Patreon at all, but you do want to support us here at Go Tell It to the Wall, you can pick up some merch from our official merch website that links directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. I'm going to say the biggest news of the weekend: we have finally gotten out of this ridiculous heat wave that we had. Hasn't been fun. In fact, we went, you know, heat wave to hurricane, and then they're still hot, and then lightning warnings a week ago on Sunday after I got out of the studio. We'll talk a little bit more about that, because I happened to be outside at a concert while that was happening. Lots of fun. But the biggest news is last night, I was out at a show. Of course, we're going to recap it. I wore a hoodie. Now, not a thick one. It wasn't that cold. But especially in comparison to the ridiculous heat wave we've had, it was cold. So it's always a momentous day each year when I can finally start busting out the hoodies. The flannels come shortly after that. And I am, as you all know, I am a fall person. I like a little cooler weather. I like wearing my hoodies. I got a lot of them that I got to get through. And so it's finally begun, at least a little bit for now. We'll see. We're probably going to get hit with another, you know, mini heat wave here. September tends to do that to us. But as of now, I have finally worn a hoodie for the first time since before summer began. So good news all around, I would say. All right, let's get into some digital trends, things happening across the social platforms, across the internet over the past week or so. And of course, I think I say this every year, and especially since we've started Common Sense Sundays, the social platforms tend to get dominated, literally dominated, by America's fascination with football. Mainly the NFL, but also college football. Got a lot of fanatics out there. So if you open any social platform right now, even if you're not into sports, you're going to see all of this stuff trending. And everybody's talking about it. You get these other high-profile athletes that play other sports are out there live tweeting football games. It's like, okay, we can watch if we care, we'll watch the game. I don't need your commentary on everything, but of course I don't have to actually read through it. It's just funny when you see it always popping up, and it's like, okay, we get it. dominating, especially on Twitter and especially on Saturdays and Sundays. So that's going to be trending for the next like 16, 17 weeks or whatever until beyond that, man. It's just going to keep going until February when the Super Bowl actually happens. So I'm sure that's dominating everyone else's feeds as well. It's just that time of year. And if you're not as into football as a lot of people are, and I'm really not that into football, I'm kind of like, all right, I get it. I don't need all of this information, but it's there if you so please to read it. I guess, yeah, NFL, dominate, at least here in the U.S. I know we have a lot of international listeners, but here in the U.S., so much football. And that's just going to be happening until we're done with the season, and then everyone's going to freak out that the season's over, and they're going to count down. It's amazing how popular football really is in this country. All right. Tammy Lauren, whatever the hell her name is, the one of the blonde, you know, bleach blonde talking heads that you see on Fox News, among other things. She was in the trending on the social platforms this past week. She actually had a speech scheduled at the University of New Mexico down there in, yes, New Mexico. I believe it's in Albuquerque. Nobody quote me on that. But the University of New Mexico. And what happened was students had heard that she was giving a speech, and they, rightfully so, enacted their right to protest the fact that she was speaking at their school. Now, there's some video going around, and the whole thing was, well, the police had to escort her out through the back door. And then, of course, the pundits ran with it. They're like, oh, my gosh, look at, and it's like, look at these Democrats. It's like, you know what? How many of those kids do you think are actually Democrats? And how many are just progressives that are anti-hate and the things that she spews on television and on social platforms? But you get lumped in there. So, of course, we're here. Look at how violent the Democrats become when somebody's just trying to give a speech. Now, first of all, it's not just giving a speech. She spreads hate and misinformation. That's fact. The biggest thing we talk about here, other than common sense, is fact-checking. You can fact-check most of what she says. It's never fucking true. All the pearl clutching. Oh, my God, you hear from Tammy Lauren. I had to be escorted out of there, and I was scared for my life. I don't know if she said scared for her life. She's like, oh, this crazy crowd and protesters and everything. And like I said, everyone's saying Democrats are horrible for it. I encourage you, if you're interested, to go look at the videos. Nobody is breaking windows. Nobody was assaulting police officers. They were simply being loud and having a large crowd of protesters. As far as I'm concerned, nobody can say a goddamn word about something like this unless, you know, and I will give you this, unless you were also pointing out the ridiculousness of January 6th. Nothing. We're probably never going to see anything compare to that. So save your pearl clutching, Tammy, whatever the fuck her real name is. I don't care enough. It's just she dominates feeds. It's kind of like, yeah, oh, the students, they enacted their right to protest. They did not want your hate-filled speeches happening on their campus. Rightfully so. So do better. Do better, Tammy. January 6th. Come on, man. And then, of course, as usual, we've got Trump trending on all the social platforms. He had a rally recently, probably in Ohio. Seems like all these rallies happen in Ohio. Nothing good happens in Ohio. No offense to anyone living in Ohio, but Jesus Christ, you got to fix some shit in your state. This is twofold. Now, first of all, I took a few minutes to view a clip of one of his speeches. It's really amazing the lies that he pushes. We're also talking about the back the blue crowd here, and he's standing up there saying how the Department of Justice is corrupt, how the FBI is corrupt, how they're being used as a tool by political enemies. I think he literally said enemies. All kinds of stuff like this. And none of it's true. And on top of that, we're getting word that he's sharing more QAnon or whatever. We all know what this is. It's absolute bullshit. It's ridiculous conspiracy theorist bullshit that has led to violence and lies and just utter ridiculous conspiracies and that people are actually believing. And now we have Trump aligning himself with all of those conspiracies. It's honestly creepy the way he talks. I'm just like, how can anybody sit there and listen to this man? But then, of course, he still has crowds of people that believe all this bullshit. Utterly astounding to me. I would encourage you to not even go down that hole on Twitter or any of the social platforms, because it's just going to make you angry. But, of course, here we have still this orange menace spreading lies and essentially brainwashing his base to believe whatever the hell he says. He told us who he is years ago. We've known who he is. Shouldn't be shocked, but it is still shocking when you see the lies that people eat up from the Orange Menace. Man. Of course, here I'm talking about the Orange Menace still. He was supposed to go away if he lost the election, and here we are still having to hear from him and all his other bullshit and all his cronies and everything else. Now I got to go from that, something I don't like talking about, to something else I don't like talking about, and in fact, something I don't like talking about, and I have to defend this person. I'm not even sure which one it was. It's one of the Kardashians, okay? And I hate talking about the goddamned Kardashians on this show. They shouldn't have any platform. I'm so sick of them. It's ridiculous, fake bullshit that they put out on reality television. But one of the Kardashians got into a little bit of social media trouble about a week ago, right after the Queen died. I think like the day the Queen died, and this was popping up recently. And what she did was she posted a photo of herself in a swimsuit. And having nothing to do with the Queen or the monarchy of England. And people started commenting and giving her a hard time and saying, have some respect, the Queen just died. Hello, she's not even fucking British. She's American. So we all have to just stop because you think you need to be in a mourning period for some monarchy? Give me a fucking break. And here I am, sitting here, yelling at a wall on Common Sense Sundays and having to defend a Kardashian. I don't like doing it, but I have to because it's fucking common sense. We all just have to stop living our lives. And this is what the Kardashians do. They post photos. They have a heavy social media presence. I don't like them, but you can't. There's plenty of other things to complain about when it comes to the Kardashians, specifically PPP loans that were forgiven, things like that. Who cares if she's wearing a goddamn swimsuit? I'm getting so sick of the Queen stuff. We don't all love the Queen. We don't all love the monarchy. I am Irish American. My relatives do not like the monarchy. Never have. Ask all these colonized countries what they think of the monarchy. Give me a break. You want, and again, we have a large listenership in the UK. I get it. If you want to mourn and do all this stuff and whatever, you know, watch the parades go by of the, it's fine, but don't push it on everyone else. It's just as bad as religion. I always say, you want to practice religion, that's great, practice religion. You don't need to push it on everyone else. Same concept here, absolutely the same concept. So let's do better. And now I'm fucking defending Kardashians. Why, god damn it. All right, we had a little viral clip going around the digital platforms, the social platforms. It's actually really funny. So I don't know if you've seen, everyone's probably seen videos of these things. I've actually seen one in real life, only once. I feel like I was coming out of a show, and a bunch of people were like, oh, whoa, look, it's a delivery robot. Going down the sidewalk to deliver somebody's food. And you're like, all right, delivery robot. There's a viral clip going around of a delivery robot actually rolling straight through the crime scene outside of Hollywood High School here in California, Southern California, in Hollywood. Now, fortunately, it was a false threat to the high school, so there wasn't actually anybody in danger. Kids weren't in danger, but the video is actually kind of funny. Funny being relative. We don't want this happening constantly and messing with evidence or anything else, but the robot just right through the police tape, just keeps going on down the sidewalk. You're like, that robot has zero fucks to give. And again, robot overlords, I'm here when inevitably we get taken over, and respect to you. And maybe this is the beginning. They're just going to start sending food delivery robots through through crime scenes. Just zero. Then that's the one thing that does give me confidence is the robots don't even know. Like, this thing's just like, nope, I got to deliver. Oh, so I'm sure you've seen that one. If you haven't seen that one, I encourage you to check it out because it's pretty funny. And luckily, like I said, it was an actual crime scene where somebody could have gotten hurt or anything else. So now, in hindsight, it's kind of funny. At the time, the police are probably like, what is going on here? You know, I'm not going to sit here and praise the police, but they have a job to do when it comes to certain things like that. All right, let's get into some COVID updates. Oh, boy. Still the COVID updates, huh? Yep. But we actually got some great news this week. WHO, the World Health Organization, one of their reps came out and said that, and I quote, The end is in sight. The end of the COVID-19 pandemic is in sight. Now, they also pointed out, we're not quite there. And we've kind of had this false confidence a couple times over the past few years where it's like masks are getting thrown off. We got vaccine, and vaccines have obviously helped quite a bit. All you have to do is look at the numbers. But we've had this false hope and then kind of ripped away as another variant comes through or numbers increase again. And we've been seeing this for a few weeks. Numbers, at least, I don't follow the numbers too closely. In Southern California, I do. They have been dropping like crazy in Southern California. Positive cases now. Granted, you can attest it to less testing. This is why I'm not really a public speaker or a speechwriter. But you can chalk that up to less testing to an extent. But we are still seeing a drop in numbers. You know, still positive tests, but a drop in numbers. Especially with the home tests now. I've had a few tests over the past few weeks from going to shows. My daughter had a close contact at school. She's taking a few to my wife. You know, we take the tests. And knock on wood, we have been safe over the past few weeks with going out and everything else. So I'd say we're not quite there yet, and still be smart and diligent, and we will get there. Just don't rush it. We don't want to be in another situation that we were a year ago. A year ago, it got bad again, right around this time. You know, and shows were getting canceled, and stuff was closing again, and so we don't want to rush it. Continue to be smart and diligent, and luckily we know that the finish line is in sight here. The end is in sight. All right, vaccinating is trending on Twitter. I could have put this in digital trends, but I want to talk about it relating to COVID. More and more misinformation. That's what we're seeing here. And the reason it's trending is because people are spewing misinformation. So as always, I would encourage you to fact check, and listen to science. And especially when it comes to something like Twitter, where this is trending, look at the numbers. When it comes to Twitter, there are bots on there that are there for the sole purpose of spreading misinformation. So always, always, always fact check. And I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV or on the radio or on a podcast. But listen to the science. Get vaccinated. I've gotten my booster. You know, and that's where this comes out. People, I'm not vaccinated and I haven't died yet. Like, well, cool. It's like playing Russian roulette, to be honest. You're like, well, there's only one bullet in there, and I've shot the gun 4 times, and I haven't died yet. Well, yeah, but why keep doing it? You know, again, I'm not a doctor, but you should get vaccinated, for the love of God. And now we're getting more talk of an annual shot. And I know all the anti-vaxxers and such are going to come out, this is crazy. Now we got to get a shot every year. We do this for the flu. We have a flu shot. You should be getting an annual flu shot to protect yourself and those around you. So it's not a big deal. If we get to that point where we're getting an annual COVID shot to keep you safe and boost your immunity, what's the big deal? Trust me, I hate shots. I hate them. Nurses laugh at me constantly because I will start sweating and I'll tense up and I'm no. They laugh at me. They got laughed at when I got my booster. I'm okay with that. That's something we got to do. A little prick in the arm. It's not gonna. It sucks, but it's not the end of the world. And especially if it adds a 2% chance that, you know, 2% safer, worth it. So let's all remember those things. And let's get into some mental health. I actually don't have a lot this week. I think we got real deep into mental health topics the past couple weeks. So I wanted to keep it, for lack of a better word, lighter this week. But a couple things I want to talk about, and I've talked about them previously. The most important is to always remember, always, 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 and I tell this to people, it's okay to not be okay. That can be a big thing. We talked about triggers last week or 2 weeks, whenever it was. That can be a big thing that if you start to beat yourself up for not being okay, really that's just going to send you deeper and deeper into a bad mental health state. And on top of it being okay to not be okay, remember it's okay to talk to someone. You know, medication has been getting a bad rap the past few months. I mean, it always has, but the past few months, people of note are coming out and saying, oh, it's mental illness medication is what's causing people to do this and do that and everything else. It's okay. There are plenty of examples out there that you can find with a simple search of people who have been immensely helped by medication. Now, that can be a bit of a long road if you've never been on medication and you realize that maybe you should when it comes to your mental illness. It's a science, but it's also your brain. So you do have to have some patience when it comes to that. And that's where talking to someone can also help you quite a bit. And if you are not quite ready to go down that road, this is another thing I've talked about many times in the past. There's resources for you. I always say, you can send me an email. I am not a psychologist. I am by no means an expert. I simply speak from my own personal experience, my own mental illness, my own experience talking with people about mental illness, and the progression of how we have learned to deal with mental illness worldwide, but especially in the United States, because I've been dealing with it for really all my life, but I've been doing the doctor rigmarole for 20 plus years, So it's really speaking from my experience, but there's plenty of other resources out there that aren't necessarily getting an appointment with a psychologist, getting an appointment with a psychiatrist, whatever it might be. These are more peer-based things. One of those would be Punk Rock Saves Lives Mental Health. That's something you can find on Facebook and other platforms. And it's simply a safe community. And there's other things like this. If you simply do a cursory search, especially on social platforms, you're going to find them. And these are basically peers. And sometimes you may just need to vent. And again, this isn't necessarily getting an expert. You're getting people that are like me that speak from their own experience, maybe have some advice, or even can connect you with some resources. That's where else it comes in handy, is if you don't know where to start, sometimes that's a great place to start. And that's why I tell people, you can always email me through SeanO'RourkeLive.com, and I will do my best to connect you with the best help that's going to get you through whatever you're experiencing at that given moment. So keep that in mind. And just remember, those resources are there. It's okay to not be okay. I mean, gosh, it's been tough to be okay the past couple years, regardless of what you're doing, regardless of having a mental illness. And remember, even if you don't suffer from mental illness or mental health problem, there is absolutely somebody in your close circle that is dealing with it or has dealt with it. So have that same respect, even if it's not something you go through. Have that respect and as much understanding as you can without a firsthand experience, and be supportive to those close to you, friends, family, whoever it might be. All right, some positive news. We always need some positive news on a weekly basis here. I really like this story too, actually. And it's extra funny because I am not a fan of drones. They're fine. And here's the thing. I think they're great if you're utilizing them in the right way. There's a music video director and photographer, Alexander Thomas, blew me away when we were in Arizona back in March. And he's flying this thing to take aerial footage, and he's landing it on a dime. It's like perfect. And I remember saying to him, I was like, how'd you get so good at this? There's crazy training you can go through. So when it comes to that kind of, I'm like, heck yeah. You can get FAA training so that you know how to fly the thing correctly and you know where you can and can't fly it. So when I say I'm not a fan of drones, I'm not a fan of people just picking up a drone and flying it around the neighborhood and spying on people. We got to knock that off. However, this is a great use of a drone. And we had a woman named Erica Hart. She has a drone. She lives in Yorkshire, which is northern England. And she uses the drone to find lost dogs. And the reason this came up most recently is a week or two ago, a couple had reached out to her and said, our dog got it. We cannot find our dog. They'd been looking for their dog for hours, and they knew a very large thunderstorm was coming. So she raced to near their location, flew her drone, found the dog in 20 minutes, and then not only found the dog, but was able to direct the people, the owners of the dog, how to kind of cut off the dog and get the dog instead of just ending up in a, if you've never had a dog in your life, for those of you that have, you know this, but if you haven't, when a dog starts running from you, if you've got a dog that's a runner, I'm grateful our dog is really not a runner. But what happens is they're not even necessarily trying to run away from you. They think you're playing. So it's not so easy as just running a dog down. You're probably not going to run faster than a dog unless it's, severely overweight or something. So she's helping them with the exact spot to go to catch the dog. And in this instance, the thunderstorm came minutes after they found the dog. If they had not found the dog before the thunderstorm, there's a good chance the dog would not have survived throughout that thunderstorm, and they wouldn't have been able to find it during the thunderstorm. So good on you, Erica Hart. And then we found out from this story, that's the thing, it came up recently because this happened recently with that that particular dog. But she says over the past 7 years, she estimates she has helped to find about 200 lost dogs. The other great thing, and this is anti-capitalism right here, she doesn't charge anybody. She doesn't charge anybody. She'll use her own money on gas to drive around the area. Now, I don't think she's driving to different counties or anything, but she'll use her own gas to drive around the area, get near where the dog is, fly the drone. And, of course, I'm sure there's some operational cost to flying a drone, at least charging the thing. I'm not familiar enough with drones, but at least for charging the thing. And she doesn't charge at all. Doesn't charge money, doesn't accept money from any of these people. Just out there doing it because she loves dogs and doesn't want to see dogs become separated from their families. So good on you, and good use of a drone. I would actually like to learn to use a drone one day. I've got a drone in the garage. Wall fan and patron, Adam, actually gave me one. I'm afraid to mess with it. Because here's the thing, too, is I would use it appropriately if I could, but I also know that as soon as I get one of those things in the air, I'm probably going to crash that bad boy because I'm not trained to fly a drone. But maybe one day I'll bust that thing out, take it to a park and just kind of fly it around for fun. All right, parenting. We got some parenting stuff this week. If you're in Southern California, you might have seen this happening recently, and I don't know if this has been happening in other communities around the U.S. But over the past week and a half or so, we've had multiple gun violence threats and bomb threats to high schools and other schools around Southern California. Like I talked about that delivery robot that was actually. They had the crime scene taped off because there was a false, they found out later it was a false threat to Hollywood High School. And the reason I put this in parenting is this is truly terrifying for parents. Now, as a parent, and if you are a parent, you can relate to this, you're constantly terrified that your child is going to be safe. Now, especially for someone like me with obsessive compulsive disorder, I immediately go to the worst case scenario, especially when it comes to my child. So imagine you're at work or something, or you're at home, your kid's at school where they're presumably supposed to be safe, not really in this country, but presumably, and you get a phone call or you see something scroll across your newsfeed. Imagine what's going through their minds at that moment. It's truly terrifying, and it's not funny at all. As far as I'm concerned, anyone doing these things, false or not, needs to be prosecuted. And at the very least, needs to pay for all those resources that went out to those locations where there was a false threat. We shouldn't be doing this. It's not fair to parents. It's not fair to kids. But this is the world we live in. Not only does it actually happen, but we are constantly bombarded by false threats. And you don't know if it's going to be true or not. And speaking of terrifying things, and this comes up constantly in, I don't want to say my day-to-day life, but it comes up once a week or so in conversation. Recently here in Los Angeles, I believe the high school is in Hollywood. It's not Hollywood High School. It's another different high school, but around that area. Unfortunately, had multiple overdoses and one death, all high school teenaged kids. And of course, you can already guess what caused these overdoses. It's fentanyl. Fentanyl. The most terrifying thing that's happening right now for kids or even adults who may be recreationally used is this fentanyl. It can kill you. The tiniest bit can kill you. And unfortunately, we have a young life snuffed away because they were trying to get some recreational drugs. Now, arrests have been made, fortunately. But that's not going to bring back the poor young lady that passed away because she was given Percocet laced with fentanyl. Percocet. We are not even talking cocaine, heroin, like hard drugs. I'm not saying you should do Percocet. But shit, in the 90s, everybody was doing, they're giving pills to everybody. Now you got to be terrified about Percocet. Next thing you know, they're going to start lacing Tylenol with fentanyl. It's going to be crazy. And again, just another terrifying thing for parents out there. Because that's the thing. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I have tried my fair share of recreational drugs. And we all kind of, you know, you when I was younger, it was a bit scary. You had to make sure you were getting it from somebody you trusted, somebody you knew. And at the very, very beginning of internet, this thing Party Safe or something came out. And you could literally go on there and you could compare pills. So they'd say, nope, these are not good. Do not take those pills. Or those are fine. Take those pills. But nowadays, the little smallest amount of fentanyl could be in there. And there are fentanyl test kits and stuff like that. But even then, can you fully trust it? I'm talking about this in parenting because it terrifies me. Now, my daughter is very young, but she's going to hit a point where that's going to be around her. It's unavoidable. Whether you do it or not, everybody, once you hit it, you know, everybody of a certain age has been in a situation where there was a possibility of that. Even whether you do it or not is another thing, but there's a possibility of it, and that's what makes it terrifying. And if you want to know how ridiculous it is, and you can fact check this, because I don't have a, and I have a word of mouth source, somebody that worked for Party Safe or whatever. There's one of those things. They were out on Playa at Burning Man, and they test people's drugs. Yes, Burning Man is not all about drugs, but plenty of people are out there enjoying drugs. Get your facts straight, KTLA, who made a big joke about everybody being on drugs at Burning Man. Trust me, like maybe half. It's not even half. It's half if you count marijuana. It might be half if you count marijuana, which you shouldn't be. But apparently, like something like 98% of the drugs that pass through there being tested had fentanyl. That's how terrifying this is. So we as adults need to do better and protect our children. Because it's becoming more and more scary to raise children in the world today. It really is. All right, now that we've talked about ridiculous, scary things in parenting, I want to mention one cool thing that I had, you know, I've seen similar things. Back in the 90s, they had this place called Discovery Zone. And I know places like this still exist, you know, and Chuck E. Cheese, of course, like all the video games and stuff. And Discovery Zone was kind of beefed up. They had this big play area and you're going through tubes and everything else. Found myself at this place, Fun Box, yesterday there in Santa Anita, at Westfield Santa Anita, right next to the racetrack in Arcadia. And there's this place called Fun Box. And you walk in there. We're there for a birthday party. My daughter's friend, classmate, it was his birthday party. And we go in there. And as soon as you walk in, there is this massive, massive, like the size of a football field, bouncy house with all kinds of things in it to jump on and slides and taking up like almost the entire place. Talk about heaven for kids. I'm walking in there, I'm looking. Now, I wasn't about to go bouncing. I'm like, I'm old, I'm going to break my leg if I go bouncing in there. I mean, it probably would have been fine, but I was like, no, it's for the kids. I said to a couple, I was like, this would have been the greatest thing ever when I was a kid. I'd have been in there for hours just bouncing around. So my kid loved it. She had a blast. One of the slides might have been a little too high for her, but we got through that, and it was all good. But she had a blast. And all the kids are just in there, and it's great. This is what else is great about birthday parties. You fill them full of cake and stuff, let them burn that off. There they are, burning off, bouncing around. The other cool thing was with this place, and I don't know if it's a chain or not, and I'm sure there's, depending where you live, there might be something similar, but they had video games, like, kind of around the outside. You know, that took up most of it, and then they had some, you know, they have these party rooms, and, you know, if you've ever been to certain places, you reserve a room. Like, it's been around forever, ice rinks and whatever else. So they have that. And then there's also video games kind of along the outside walls. I'm like, oh, that's cool, video games. I look at a sign, it's all video games free. And I went, well, now I'm going to be entertained while the kid's bouncing around. So I played a little pinball, played a little Pac-Man. I remembered why I hate Pac-Man. I went back to the pinball because I do enjoy some pinball. So it was a lot of fun. Highly recommend if you need something to do with your kids. Or even for a birthday party. That's the thing, too. My wife was like, oh, maybe we should have her birthday party this year. And the beauty of not cleaning up. I mean, you clean up a little bit, but you're not cleaning up your entire house or your entire backyard, which is what ends up happening in my life most of the time because we end up having a big birthday party in the backyard. We've got a backyard really built for entertaining. But then that cleanup, man, whew. I'm out there with a power washer and a broom and a leaf blower like the next day. Like, Jesus Christ, how did Kate get on the roof? What were these kids doing? So there's that advantage as well. All right, let's talk some common sense. I don't know why my voice was fine. And then I'm going to talk about last night's show, but I think venues and stuff are still catching up with the fact that we're not in the middle of this crazy heat wave. And I'm in this venue last night, and I said I was wearing a hoodie, finally. But they had the air conditioner still cranked up. And I'm like, it's like 72 degrees outside, guys. So I think that dryness kind of messed with my voice a little. It's not bad like it was a few weeks ago after the Less Than Jake shows, but it's also not 100% right now. So we'll see how that goes. All right, common sense. 24 hours. How long would you wait in a line for anything? How about 24 hours in line to see the Queen's coffin? This week in England, I believe it's in London, they have her lying in state, or whatever, they maybe use a different term. I just know that term because that's what they do for politicians. And it got up to a 24-hour-long wait to go see a coffin. I'm not waiting that long in line for anything. I got to tell you, I'm not doing it. I always joke. I'm not waiting to go into a club. I'll wait 10 minutes at, 15 minutes at In-N-Out in the drive-thru. That's, not too bad. The longest I'll wait in a line is really going into Burning Man, but you're kind of hanging out and socializing in line anyway. 24 hours. Nothing close to 24 hours for anything. It's wealthy people worship. That's really what this is. And I don't want to offend people that are all about the monarchy and everything. That's fine. Do your thing. But 24 fucking hours? Common sense, man. I mean, if I'm waiting 24 hours in line to see the Queen's coffin, she better jump out that bad boy and start dancing like the frog from Warner Brothers. If you're old enough, you know what I'm talking about. Hello, my baby. Yeah, she better start doing that. See a box. Why? 24 hours. Not for me. Brett Favre. Oh, my God. Brett Favre. Favre. Brett Favre's been in the news lately. So apparently it came out that he worked with the governor of Mississippi, that's where he lives, worked with the governor of Mississippi to essentially steal welfare money from the state of Mississippi. I've heard $5 million, I've heard $6 million. Either way, $5 to $6 million welfare funds going to people in need of money. So he's not only stealing, but he's stealing from poor people, the opposite of Robin Hood. And all of this was to build a volleyball arena at the college where his daughter played volleyball. $5 to $6 million stolen from people who have trouble affording their next meal. Brett Favre, you think he's got a little bit of money? I think he does. Maybe that should have just been a donation out of his own pocket instead of stealing from people who very, very, very much need welfare funds. How horrible do you have to be? How horrible of a human being do you have to be to steal, not only steal, but steal from the poor, essentially? It's utterly disgusting. And what else is disgusting is there's not near enough uproar. Do you remember the uproar that Colin Kaepernick got because he knelt on the sidelines? A lot of people lost their minds. And people are calling out Brett Favre, but the amount of people pales in comparison to everyone who was complaining about Colin Kaepernick. I would like to say, for the record, I have hated Brett Favre for a very, very, very long time, so I was on the right side of history with this one. Not that I knew he was going to be stealing $5 million from the state of Mississippi, but I've hated him for years. Oh boy. Our two favorite governors in the United States of America, they've been in the news the past week. You already know who I'm talking about. DeSantis down there in Florida and Abbott down there in Texas. And they've been in the news because they have been picking up immigrants that cross into their states. And they have been either busing them or flying them to democratically controlled states and cities. And actually some to the home of Vice President Kamala Harris. Sending immigrants to other states. Not only are they doing this, but they're using state taxpayer funds to fly people to other states. And this is obviously a big stunt. And they have been called out on that fact. Now, of course, they still have supporters that are like, yeah, send those immigrants to another place. Let someone else deal with them. But it's essentially a stunt. They're making a big, like, turning this into something, and instead of being compassionate governors, which they are not, they're playing this silly high school drama game with other governors and politicians. They are fucking people. Human beings. Not props for your stupid little stunts. Have some goddamn compassion. I don't care where you fall on the topic of immigration. Regardless of what you believe in, closed borders, open borders, any of that stuff. You have to see this as wrong. Human fucking beings being used as props in a political game. There's no excuse for that whatsoever. And I would like to point out, everyone out there said, no, you can't let immigrants into this country. Every single person in this country, with the exception of native people, every single person have relatives that came over and immigrated to this country. Mine came from Poland and Ireland. My wife's came from Poland and Italy. So, you really don't have a leg to stand on here. They're legally trying to come here and seek sanctuary. And here we have these two assholes using them as a prop in their political game. It's absolutely disgusting. If I never have to hear from DeSantis or Abbott again, it will be fantastic. But as we know, they're probably still both going to be governor. Hopefully Cousin Beto can unseat Abbott, but who knows? Who knows? All right, some more common sense pertaining to the sports world. Cleveland Browns, that football team up there in Cleveland. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns, they're not in Mississippi. They're in Cleveland. So we've talked about them. And a certain individual named Deshaun Watson and his sick and twisted lifestyle that he was living there for a while and maybe still is, who knows. Well, we had some pictures floating around of Browns fans at Browns Stadium. They actually had a mannequin laying on a table. The mannequin was, how do I say this, pitching a tent, for those of you that know what I'm talking about. And right underneath it, there was a sign that read, and I quote, happy endings are not illegal. End quote. These are Browns fans. They are making excuses for a blatant sexual predator. Blatant. There's no black and there's no gray on this. It's black and white. He's a sexual predator. He has problems. Look at the numbers. No professional athlete should be reaching out to massage therapists on Instagram. And definitely not that many. Different ones. Utterly astounding. I hope the Browns lose every single game for the rest of the year, and I hope they lose every single game until they clean up their act. Browns fans, do better. Browns organization, you shouldn't have given so much money to a sexual predator. Speaking of sexual predators, SDSU, I'm going to be talking about them quite a bit because they had their second game of the season yesterday and they got utterly demolished by Utah. I'm not a big fan of Utah by any means, don't get me wrong, but I am enjoying seeing SDSU get demolished on the scoreboard, especially when it comes to their football team. It's a bit of karma for, again, covering up sexual assault for the sake of your football team and your stupid little stadium down there in San Diego, if you want to call it a stadium. It's more of like a park. But I'm here for it. And just like the Browns, I hope SDSU loses every single game for the rest of the season. And apologies to all my San Diego friends. I know you're fans. I have found myself to be a fan of SDSU in the past as well, but not now. We've talked about this. The university covered this up. The police department in San Diego covered this up. It was almost a year ago, and we're only recently getting details about it. All right, let's talk some common sense. We just talked common sense. God damn it, Sean. Let's talk some entertainment news. Oh, keep that. Got to stay hydrated. It's not as hot, but I still got to find myself getting hydrated here. Pretty good at the show last night. I love venues that just have like a water jug and cups, and you're like, cool, I'm just gonna go water, boom, All venues should be required to do this. Unfortunately, a lot of the Live Nation venues don't do that because they want you to buy Liquid Death. And Liquid Death is fine. I'll drink a Liquid Death, don't get me wrong. But can we just get a jug of water here and some cups? That'd be great. Or even, bring your own cup thing. Fine. I'll buy a drink and then I'll use that cup. Whatever it might be. All right. Anyway, so you got tangented there a little bit. Entertainment news. Less Than Jake had a huge announcement. Maybe not huge for everybody, even if you are a Less Than Jake fan. Huge announcement for me. This past Tuesday, they posted that they were going to have some very, very limited, specifically limited to 250 pairs of Vans Skate High, which were customized with the Less Than Jake 30th anniversary logo. Had the green that they've been using for a lot of those logos and on the merch, with that accented with that green. Really awesome. Pretty awesome. And I don't wear a ton of Skate Highs, but being a huge Vans fan, I got multiple Vans stickers on the wall over here, and also being a gigantic Less Than Jake fan, I said, well, I'm going to need those to add to my collection of Vans. And of course, like I said, limited to 250 pairs, and Less Than Jake doesn't have a following that, I don't know, who's a big, I mean, even Metallica or something, but like Billie Eilish, I'm sure, but they have a very large following. So I got up, they were going on sale at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, where I live. So I got up on Wednesday, took the kid to school, came home, got the computer out, and at about 8:55, I started refreshing the merch website, waiting for the shoes to pop up. I was sitting in the living room, my wife was sitting in the studio, she's doing the same thing, and we're yelling back and forth, like, you got him yet? No, you got him yet? No. They finally popped up. My wife's like, I got him, and they're in the, and I was like, I got him too, they're in the cart. And I already use Shop, which is it's a program, it's software or whatever that a lot of these merch sites use. And so it's real easy. Once I get them in the cart, it already has it. It's like Amazon. It's got my address, my credit card. It's like, boom, you want these? Cool, go. I was fortunate enough to get a pair in my size. And it's funny, my wife's like, what size, 12? And I was like, anywhere from 11 and a half to 13. Get them. I need these shoes. Luckily, I got a size 12. I was curious because I saw they sold out after I got mine. Sold out in about 4 minutes. 4 minutes. For the love of God. 4 minutes. So I'm glad I was doing the refreshing. They haven't been shipped yet, but I'm looking forward to when those come here. And I'll probably never wear them. many friends pointed out, oh, cool, we'll never see you wear them, but that's great. I was like, yeah, well, they go in the collection. I got other shoes in the collection I don't wear anyway. And we'll add another pair. And it's Less Than Jake. For the love of God, I got to have them. And if you are interested in getting them, I don't support this, but literally 10 minutes after they were sold out, I was curious, and I went on eBay, and I searched, and somebody had them. They cost like $95 when you got them through the Less Than Jake merch. Somebody had them listed for like $195 as a starting bid, and I think more and more have been popping up. And they haven't even been shipped yet. These eBay sellers don't have them in their possession. Come on, man. So, if you want to do that, you really want to get your hands on them, by all means, but I don't recommend supporting these merch scalpers. That's really what they are. All right, Riot Fest craziness. Riot Fest going on. Literally finishing up right now in the Chicago area there, and it's a huge three-day festival they have every year. And it seemed to be going. I have a lot of friends that are there right now, actually, so I've been following through social media. But apparently last night, My Chemical Romance played. They had to have a crew member from Riot Fest come out on the stage. And it was funny, but not funny. It was just kind of funny because he was literally like, okay, everybody in the back, please take a step back. And then step back and trying to keep the crowd from going crazy. I don't know if it's true, but I heard somebody broke a leg in that crowd. And, people were having exhaustion and stuff like that. These are things that happen. But it does seem that it kind of came to a head, and ever since that whole Astral World thing, obviously, people are extra cautious. Then, MCR, My Chemical Romance, came out to play, and Gerard Way, who's the, he's one of the main My Chemical Romance guys, asked everyone to kind of back up a little bit, because the crowd was getting insane, and they got booed. People booed them, because he was asking for safety for people attending this event. How are you going to boo that? And of course, there's people on there like, oh, it's fine. You just can't handle shows. It's like, you know what? Even if it was a matter of people not being used to being in a pit, whatever it might be, what's the big deal of like, hey, just take a step back. Let's make a little space. Somebody might need some medical attention. You know, I've been to some crazy show. Pennywise, for the love of God. Saw them back in March up in Ventura, and they stopped their set because somebody was hurt in the pit. And they're like, nope, bring in the medical attention. Nobody's booing them. Let's do better out there at Riot Fest. Show etiquette is always key. I've talked about this for years. Pit etiquette, show etiquette. Just have some compassion for your fellow man. All right, Z Nation. I know I talked about this show last week. This crappy, cheesy, it's not crappy, cheesy sci-fi show that's now on Netflix. And I was like, been watching it for a while. It's just kind of something to watch. You know, Henry Rollins shows up. Well, I don't know if this is going to be a thing for the last season and season that I don't even know if what season I'm on. But cameos, because I'm watching a couple nights ago. And it's funny because I'm like falling asleep on the couch and barely paying attention. I heard the voice first and I was like, I know that voice. I know that voice very well. And I look up at the TV and sure enough, it's Jason Mewes playing a part on Z Nation. For those of you that are not watching the video feed, I've got my my little J in action figure here. I have the big ass J over there. I'm just not going to, it's signed too by Jason Mewes. I'm not going to pull that one out because it's huge. It's over there. So that was just kind of a nice surprise. And he even made a J reference. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't Snoochie Boochies, but it was like Snooch to the one of those. And you're like, oh my God, of course he slides that in there. I wonder if it was even in the script. It sounds like something Jason Mewes would do. So again, check out Z Nation if you're into like apocalyptic zombie stuff, not too heavy. I guess it's probably similar to Walking Dead. I've never watched Walking Dead. But if nothing else, you're going to get some funny cameos from Jason Mewes and Henry Rollins. Oh, man. All right. Let's get into some recaps, and then we're going to call it an episode for episode 89 of Common Sense Sundays. Now, I was in here last Sunday tearing through an episode because I had to get on the road and head down to Garden Grove from Los Angeles for the In Defense of Ska tour. As you could tell from last episode, I was very excited. I've been sitting on those tickets for almost a year. Bought them back in November. So made my way down there to Garden Grove for the In Defense of Ska tour. And of course, beforehand, met up with a couple of friends. And there's a Mexican restaurant called Azteca. Right down, like a block away from Garden Grove Amphitheater. And I'd been there before. We went there before the Summer Sizzler with Bite Me Bambi. And I didn't eat. I had like a quesadilla because I was like, I'm going to eat at the show too and just get a little snack, you know, something to get the blood sugar up. But this time I actually did. I was like, all right, I'm going to have a meal. And let me tell you, before I even get to how good it was, you know, you go to a lot of places, like Mexican restaurants especially, and if you're getting a plate, you know, like a carne asada plate, a carnitas plate, you know, with the rice and beans and tortillas and stuff, you're paying a little bit extra, you know, you're paying for it. $20+ at a lot of places. $14 at Azteca. $14 for a carnitas plate. I'm like, well, give me that carnitas plate. I love carnitas. I have a weakness for carnitas. Good carnitas. They bring it out, and oh, were those good carnitas. So my belly was full. I was happy as heck heading over to the In Defense of Ska tour. It was a lot of fun, of course. I love Garden Grove Amphitheater. I really do. Of course, ran into a bunch of friends. I will say they got a new back of house crew, and the mix was a bit off. I think they're just getting used to it. I'm not going to chide them too much on it. You know, you got a new crew. They're getting used to the venue and the mixing board and everything else. So, you know, but it was a little bit noticeable. There was a lightning warning, as I mentioned. And it was funny because my buddy John is behind me. And he's like, oh, don't look up right now. And some clouds are rolling in. They actually had easy ups over the drums and over the keyboards. And, you know, Tara's kind of out in front for 2:30. And I'm at the rail. And for those of you that are familiar with the rail, especially at Garden Grove and a lot of other places, it's literally a metal rail. You know, you say rail, but it's like stage, but that's just the term we use. But at Garden Amp, there's actually a rail, and it's like a metal thing they set up, and underneath you is metal. It's like, you know, the diamond-plated metal so you don't slip. And he's like, don't look up. I was like, why? He's like, well, there's a lightning warning for the area. He's like, I'm going to stand back here on the pavement as opposed to the metal that you're standing on. So I'm like, look up, and there's some metal up like above the stage. I'm like, well, you know, if lightning strikes, it's gonna hit that, not me. So I stayed, probably not the smartest thing in the world, but I stayed on the metal port. I wanted to be close. I'm taking pictures, and 2:30 is one of my favorite bands, so of course I'm gonna be up there. And of course, Tara and 2:30 absolutely killed it. I've never seen a bad show from 2:30. They do such a great job. They're so good with their fans. And this was just another great set that they put on. I will have pictures coming up. I just haven't gone sorted through them all, but those will be coming up in the next couple days. So look forward to those. Those will be on Instagram at SoCalSean. So make sure you're following over there if you're interested in seeing those photos. Saw so many friends and made some new ones. Made some new ones, but just everybody was, I'm like running around. At one point I felt, and it was, I think everybody kind of feels like that in that situation. I felt like a politician, like, hey, how you doing? Oh, hey, oh, let me go say hi to whoever, you know. It's like everybody's running around there because it's a big show. And then, of course, I end up front and center for Buck 09. I have been listening to Buck 09 since I was young. They are local legends in San Diego. You know, and they've made a name for themselves, obviously, but I've been listening because I grew up in San Diego. Been listening to him forever. So I found myself front and center, taking pictures there too. We'll have some Buck 09 pictures going up on the Instagram. And one of the best parts was seeing Pebs, John Pebsworth, back to full. I don't know that he's full strength, but back up there performing again on stage after dealing with his heart attack, which was the reason this In Defense of Ska tour was pushed from January into September to give him time to recover. So my biggest takeaway was seeing him up there, but Buck 09 rocked it as always. They actually did a cover, an Op Ivy cover of Sound System, which was fantastic. Just had an absolute blast. And it, like I said, it was great seeing so many bands I love. Mustard Plug did a great job. All of them did, but those are my two main bands that I was there for. So I was in the back listening to the other bands. And it was funny, because of the mix being a little off, we were hearing the music a little bit better standing out by the bar in the just outside the amphitheater area, because the mix was hitting better right there. So that was a little interesting as well. All right, and then yesterday, this was last Sunday, obviously. Yesterday, found myself heading up to my old stomping grounds, Tarzana, there in the Valley. Oh, the Valley. People watching's fantastic in the Valley. I always been reminded why I don't live in the Valley, and I did live there for years. I'm like, yeah, this, and nothing against people. I have friends that live there. It's fine. It's not everybody. It's just not. I prefer living on the east side. It's where I live now, northeast LA. So I found myself up there at Corbin Bowl. They've got a small stage set up in there that they do live music. So it was definitely one of those smaller show at Corbin Bowl. But great crowd out there. Met some new people. And I was specifically, there was, oh my gosh, like seven bands played. So we took a moment. Actually had carnitas again last night because there was a Mexican restaurant across the street that I hadn't been to in years, and I used to go to quite a bit. It's a family that owns three Mexican restaurants all right around the valley there. And I've been to all three of them. So I was like, oh yeah, let's go eat there. It's right across the street and, you know, we got some time. But I was mainly there to see, the Let Me Downs and Scotty Saints and the True Believers. Now I've talked about Let Me Downs before. There's a Let Me Downs sticker on the wall right there. Paul is a very good friend, as well as Pat and Garrett. They're also good friends. I just happen to know Paul I've known him a little bit longer, I guess you could say. But they're all quite good friends. It was also my first time seeing Scotty Saints and the True Believers. Highly, highly, highly recommend Scotty Saints, of course, in addition to Let Me Downs. I'm going to have pictures of those sets as well. Those will be coming after the In Defense of Ska photos. I just have like a lineup of, it's been a crazy few weeks of shows and stuff, so I've just got a list of stuff to get out. But I would, the biggest thing I will say about both of those bands is they're two of the most underrated bands you're going to come across. They have a following. They're popular, so it's not to say nobody likes them. It's just that they have the talent and the sound that they should have the following of, at the very least, a Chaser. But honestly, a lot of these pop punk bands that come out, and neither of them are from Southern California, but it has that same vibe. There's a lot of pop punk bands that come out of Southern California that get a little more popular than Let Me Downs and Scotty Saints are right now, despite the fact that they are not as good as Let Me Downs and Scotty Saints and the True Believers. So make sure you're checking them out. It was nice to actually meet Scotty in person. I've known him through the social channels and everything else and hadn't seen that band play. It was very nice to meet him in person as well. And I will say, so make sure you're checking both those bands out. They're fantastic. You're missing out if you're not checking them out, especially if you are a pop-punk fan, a punk rock fan. It's going to be right up your alley. One thing I will say about last night is, and I'm not going to name the band, if you're playing earlier in the night and you've got a merch table set up, don't break down your merch table and merch during one of the last couple bands. One of the bands did this. So instead of hanging around to support the bands that they were playing before, they packed up and got out of there, which is kind of like, really? Really? Like, you can't. That's one thing that really irks me about the music scene is, you know, if you're playing together as bands, I'm not even saying you got to sit there and cheer and jump around and watch the whole set, but don't start breaking down your fucking merch table in the middle of it. That's just bad form. Common sense says, you know, leave it. Go grab a drink, hang out, even if you're not going to pay full attention to the bands. Don't make a scene. And not a scene like, hey, we're taking our stuff down. No, but I looked over, I'm like, guys, what, we're doing this now? Okay. So I'm not going to name the band, but do better than that. All right, we're almost done here. Oh, I'm exhausted. I don't know why. That's the thing. I was out late last night. Originally thought Let Me Downs were playing last. Thought they were playing at 10. Then we thought they were playing at 11. Then we find out they're playing at 11:45. I'm old. In fact, at one point, Scotty's like, is there a place to get coffee near here? And we had the same, came together on that moment. He's like, I'm old. I'm like, I feel you. I don't know. I'm ready to go to bed now. honestly. So it was a little late for my liking, but sometimes you got to do that. Well worth it. Unfortunately, it wasn't Orange County where I'm, you know, seeing a band at 11:45. The Valley is much closer to me than a lot of the venues in Orange County. But next weekend, I want to point them out. Might have an episode in between these two shows, but I got two shows coming up next weekend. One very, very large show, which is going to be The Interrupters and Flogging Molly at Five Points Amphitheater. I don't know if there's still tickets available. There might be, at least on the secondary market. So if you want to go and you're still needing tickets, you probably find them. Or if you're going to have tickets, keep an eye out for me and my tallness and purple hair out there. I'll throw some stickers your way. Really looking forward to that one. Going to be a big one for sure. Looking forward to seeing The Interrupters, seeing more of their new songs, because I did have that K-Rock sound space, but we got two new songs. So I imagine there's going to be a couple other new songs that they're playing on this tour. You know, it's always something you can look up, but I don't really do that. I'm like, no, I'm going to, when it happens, I'll be there. I don't need to know the set list. You know, I don't avoid it, but I don't actively look for the set list from a tour like that. So really looking forward to that one. Not looking forward to driving to Irvine from LA, but but looking forward to that show. Interrupters always put on a great show. I haven't seen Flogging Molly in years. And the Vandals are also supporting them at that tour stop. And somebody else, too. Oh, the Skints. The Skints have been on the whole tour. But the Vandals are also playing. And it's a little less than a year ago that I saw the Vandals at Punk in the Park. And then on Sunday next weekend, we have the Bomb Pops at the Moroccan Lounge. I have never been to the Moroccan Lounge, but it is in LA. I've heard great things about that venue. So really, really looking forward to that one. Last Gang is also supporting them on that, just like they did for the show at Chain Reaction. I think tickets are still available for that one. So if you're looking for tickets still, it's right there in LA, which is going to be great, a shorter drive for me. So looking forward to that one as well. And if you're going, again, look for my tallness and my purple hair, and I'll throw some stickers your way, give you a little fist bump, and enjoy some great music. The Bomb Pops always put on a fantastic show. And Last Gang as well. I've yet to see a bad set from either one of them. So be enjoying a lot of that next weekend. All right. That's going to do it. That's it. I'm done. Feel what you call it? Ferris Bueller. You're still here? Not really. I've still been talking this whole time, so that's not how it works. Don't forget to follow us on the socials. Facebook.com/GoTellItToTheWall. YouTube.com/GoTellItToTheWall. My own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean. And of course, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. Bookmark that. And if you have the means to do so, please either check out our Patreon campaign or pick up some merch through our merch website linked directly there from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. All right. This has been Episode 89 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And remember, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you aren't doing it, always, always use common sense.